أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 67 of Surah Baqarah. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً قالوا أتتخذنا هزوا قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين. And remember when Moses said to his people, indeed Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. They said, do you take us in derision? He said, I seek Allah's protection lest I should be one of the senseless. Now this is the start of a relatively long story in Surah Baqarah, and this is story of the Baqarah or the cow which Banu Israel were to slaughter to find out about a mysterious murder. And this is why this surah is called Baqarah, is because of this story, and relatively longer than other stories mentioned about Jews and Banu Israel, and this is why it has become actually a subject to give the name of the surah. Now this story, of course, we'll go through the details. The story was as such that one man was murdered among different tribes of Banu Israel. And this should have happened probably either before or after the event of Samiri Calf. And it's when in the desert, the Banu Israel had their own tents and their own places. Now, one may say it may have happened even when they were still in Egypt, but it's far-fetched, it's not probable. The story was as such, one man was murdered by either his nephew or his cousin. The story gives it in two ways. One is that there was a very, very, very rich man, an old man who had a nephew. So the nephew was waiting for his uncle to pass away to actually have the inheritance, and apparently he didn't pass away, so he killed him. And he took the body near one other tribe of Banu Israel and left it there near the places of one other tribe of Banu Israel, and actually accused them of killing the uncle. Some stories say that it was his cousin. They wanted to marry, both of them wanted to marry one girl, and of course the cousin was a good man, the girl was given to him, and he, as a revenge, killed him and took the corpse to the area where another tribe of Banu Israel were living. And accused them of killing his cousin. In both cases, of course, the accused tribe and this person, they started to argue, and it became a sort of tribal argument between the two. And they took the matter to Musa alayhi salam, and they said, you resolve this for us. Now, the answer that Musa gave them was very strange. And that was, initially he said that you have to slaughter a cow. And they were taken aback by that. What sort of judgment is this? We are asking you to judge for between us for this murder, and you tell us that we have to murder a cow. It's the second time when this issue of cow or calf comes up among Banu Israel. You remember we said that there was a symbol which was worshipped in Egypt by the Copts, and that was the Apis calf, which was one of the most honorable gods of Egypt. And the Banu Israel had started to worship that cow beside Allah, thinking that that cow would give them blessings and would give them whatever they wanted, would fulfill their wishes. And it was for that reason that Samiri actually made the calf and said that this is your God again, in the memory of the Apis cow. And here as well, for making the litigation, Musa asked them to slaughter a cow, which is again somehow going against that sanctity that they believed about the cow. Now, in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 21, there is a similar story, but of course not exactly the same. It's a general sort of ruling about when someone is murdered, how the people should actually go about finding out the murderer or absolving themselves of the crime. It may be actually a sort of changed version of what the Quran says. Now, of course, the Jews may say that the story of the Quran is a sort of distorted version of this, and we say that this is the distorted version of the Quran. Now, the story in the Bible says, if someone is found slain, exactly the same event which happened, someone was found slain and the murderer was not known. If someone is found slain lying in a field in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess, and is not known who the killer was. Now, so this is about when the Banu Israel had settled in Palestine. But we know that at the time of Musa, they had not settled yet, so that should have happened prior to this. And it's not known who the killer was, your elders and judges shall go out and measure the distance from the body to the neighboring towns. Then the elders of the town nearest the body shall take a heifer, a female cow, that has never been worked and has never worn a yoke. Exactly the same description that the Quran says about the cow. And lead it down to a valley that has not been plowed or planted and where there is a flowing stream. There in the valley, they are to break the heifer's neck. The Levitical priests shall step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister and pronounce blessings, the name of the Lord, and to decide all cases of dispute and assault. Then all the elders of the town nearest the body. This is exactly what happened. They actually took the body to the place of residence of one of the tribes. So then all the elders of the town nearest the body shall wash their hands over the heifers whose neck was broken in the valley, and they shall declare, our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it done. Accept this atonement for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, Lord, and do not hold your people guilty of the blood of an innocent person. Then the bloodshed will be atoned for, and you will have purged from yourselves the guilt of shedding innocent blood, since you have done what is right in the eyes of the Lord. So this has become a general injunction, a general ruling that whenever someone is found murdered and the murderer is not known, then you have to slaughter a cow, and then the elders of the city, which is the closest, come and wash their hands in its blood. As I said, this is not exactly what the story of the Quran says, but it shows that there was some connection between the murdering and the slaughtering a cow in Banu Israel, which probably has stemmed from this story, or maybe this general ruling was taken from the story at the time of Musa, thinking that every time that this happens, one should do the same thing. Now, what the verses of the Quran say is this. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ So the story actually starts from upside down. The beginning of the story is not mentioned. Is mentioned at the end, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا And when you killed someone and started to dispute about the murderer. So the beginning of the story is mentioned at the end. The end of the story is mentioned at the beginning to make it actually more interesting, the way, and explain the way they treated Musa about what he actually, how he conveyed the message of God to them. When the Moses said to his people, indeed God commands you to slaughter a cow. So when they came to Musa and they asked for the litigation to be settled by his judgment, he said, okay, I judge in this way. You, your Lord, it's not even my judgment, your Lord instructs you that you slaughter a cow. And this was either this became as a very strange thing for them, or again, that idea of the Apis cow and worshipping of the cow and why should we slaughter a cow for this litigation came about. They didn't want to do it. And the following descriptions show that they really didn't want to do it. They brought many pretexts forward not to slaughter a cow, and it shows that they were not in favor of slaughtering cows. They said, are you ridiculing us? This is a mocking, of course. We ask you for settling the litigation and you ask us to slaughter a cow. He said, well, I seek protection of God. If I am senseless, if I am making a prank with you, it means actually such pranks, it would have been a prank, isn't it? Just to slaughter a cow without any reason. And such pranks are actually only done by the senseless people, by ignorant people. Now, after they asked, of course, they were asked to slaughter the cow and they accepted to do it. Okay, what sort of cow? This story is one of those examples which shows us we shouldn't ask very much about details of what we are told to do. We do what we are told and do not go into particulars. Some of us are like that nowadays, isn't it? When there is a ruling about something, we want to go to the very details, and then very details would make it very difficult. We make istifta from Maraji. Should we do it in this way or in that way? Okay, do it the way you are told. You don't need to go into such details. Okay, what sort of cow? They said, invoke your Lord for us that he may clarify for us what she may be. What sort of heifer? Now, of course, it is making it more and more difficult. قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا فارض ولا بكر. فارض means old in age, and بكر is of course very young cow. لا فارض ولا بكر, a young female cow, a heifer which hasn't given birth to a calf, and therefore is بكر. لا فارض ولا بكر أوان بين ذلك. أوان means middle-aged, not very old, not very young. أوان بين ذلك فافعلوا ما تؤمرون. Now do what you are commanded. Don't ask anything else. Go find a heifer, find a cow, and which is not old in age, not young in age, a middle-aged, and do what you are told. قالوا ادعوا لنا ربك يبين لنا ما لونها. This reminds us of some people, really. Of some people who ask irrelevant questions all the time and make things more difficult for themselves and for others. Even in the Quran, we have this incident that when the injunction about Hajj was revealed, that وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Whoever has means to go to Hajj, it is an obligation on them to go to Hajj. Someone asked the Prophet, should we do it every year or once? Now, the verse doesn't say every year or once, okay? And the Prophet said, why you ask? Don't ask. It is just left it for you vague so that you are at ease. If I answer you that you have to go every year. Can you do it? Can you go everywhere, every year, really? And we have this verse in Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubdalakum tasu'ukum. Wa in tas'alu anha hina tunazzalu al-Qur'an yubdalakum. Do not ask about things that if the answer comes to you, it will put you in hardship. You don't like it. And when the Quran is being revealed, you ask, it comes. The answer will come with a revelation, and then you will be put in hardship. This is what Banu Israel did for themselves, with themselves, in the story of this cow. قَالُدْ أُوْ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّنْ لَنَا مَا لَوْنَهَا. Call on your Lord that he may clarify for us what her color may be. He said, she is a cow that is yellow. إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ صَفْرَاءٌ فَاقِعٌ. فاقع is bright in hue, a very bright yellow. لَوْنَهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ, pleasing to the onlookers. So now this made the cow very special. A very special cow, yellow, bright yellow, shining yellow. You have to find this. Now, because this was very difficult, قَالُوا ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّنْ لَنَا مَا هِيَ إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا وَإِنَّا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. They said, now, what is a cow? Now they are actually doubting about the meaning of a heifer. What is a heifer? Or this is one meaning which Allama Tabatabai actually says that now after philosophizing about this injunction, okay, we have to sacrifice a cow, and okay, do we really have the right definition of cow? What animals fall in the category of cow? This is one meaning of it. The other is that, okay, we have many cows which are yellow cows. Which type of yellow cow? These questions show that they really didn't, they were very reluctant to do it. They didn't want to do it, so they just wanted to put hurdles or bring pretexts not doing it. قَالُدْ أُلَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّنْ لَنَا مَا هِي إِنَّ الْبَقَرَى تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا. Now, we hope in وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهَ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. We hope that by asking these questions, we can find the right cow to slaughter. Now, you don't need to find the right cow to slaughter. God just told you, Musa just told you, slaughter a cow. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Any cow. Now that you ask, okay, I make it more clear for you, and it becomes more and more difficult. Now, in regarding Inna Insha'Allah La Muhtadun, Fakhruddin Razi mentions different meanings for it. From Qaffal, the Qaffal al-Shashi, who was one of the very famous Exodus, who was a student of Tabari. And Fakhruddin Razi actually quotes from Qaffal very much. He actually mentions four different aspects of meaning. I mentioned two of them here. He says one of them is inna inshallah ala hudan fi istiqsa'in fi su'al an awsaf al-baqara, that we hope that by asking we are not opposing the instruction of Allah. We want to really, really know what is that which God wants from us. And the other meaning is that inna inshallah la muhtadun, by doing this, by asking these questions, we hope that we are guided to the murderer. Who will be the murderer? قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ. Now that you say that إِنَّ الْبَقَرَ تَشَابَهَ عَلَيْنَا, this cow is confused for us. إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ إِنَّهَا بَقَرَةٌ لَا ذَلُولٌ تُثِيرُ الْأَرْضِ. This should be a cow. She should be a cow that not broken to till the earth or to water the tillage. So it's not yet at the age to do these things. لا ذلول تثير الأرض ولا تسقى الحرث مسلمة لا شية فيها. Shia is a blemish in the color, so it should be sound, quite healthy, not ill, and there shouldn't be any blemish in it. قالوا الآن جئت بالحق. Now look how they spoke to Musa. Now you are talking. Until now you were not talking. Now you are telling us the right thing, that what cow it should be. Now have you come up with the truth? And they slaughtered it, though they were about not to do it. Now they were about not to do it, meaning that they were putting all these questions to actually particularize the cow in a way that it couldn't be found. Makadu yaf'alun, they didn't really want to do it. And that's why they asked all these questions. Or they almost couldn't find this cow with all these particular features, the color, the not having a blemish, quite healthy and sound, and all these qualities are very difficult to come together in one cow. So almost they couldn't find the cow to do it. وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Now, all these questions, as I said, were because they really didn't agree with the slaughtering cows, because they were respecting the Apis bull in Egypt, and they didn't want to somehow change that attitude towards it. There's one other interesting thing here. And in finding this cow, which you probably have heard the story, in finding the cow, okay, they looked everywhere. A cow which is middle-aged, a cow which is not yet yoked for work, a cow which is very bright yellow, and in this very bright yellow, there is no blemish, 100% yellow in color. How could they find this cow? Now, they searched everywhere, and they found the cow owned by one young man. And that young man said that, I'm not going to sell this cow. I want it. This is given to me by my father. So they raised the price to something which was for the whole tribes, the two tribes which were actually disputing, was so high for the whole community to pay the price, and they had to buy it because Musa had told them, you have to slaughter this cow. Now, the story of this young man, as it mentioned in narrations, is that this young man was someone, a very pious person, and he respected his father so much, to the extent that once there was a very, very good bargain to buy something for a price, and he was very eager to do it. When he went to take the money from the safe in the house, he saw that his father is sleeping, and the key for the safe is under his head, his pillow. He didn't want to wake up his father because of the huge respect and love that he had for his father. The person said, either you pay me cash now or no bargain. He said, I give you 10,000 more, and I give the price to you just a few hours later. He said, no, either now or I go and sell somewhere else. He said, okay, no problem, I don't want it. He didn't wake up the father. And when the father woke up and knew about the story, that how his son actually forsook the huge profit of the bargain because of him, and he didn't want to wake him up, he gave him this cow as a sort of token of love. Okay, take this cow now that you didn't wake me up. And this brought lots and lots of benefit. Actually, we have a hadith from the Prophet, peace be upon him, in this regard, that انظروا إلى البر ما بلغ بأهله. Look, doing good would take a person to what state, to what place? At comes to have the only cow in the whole Banu Israel, the only cow which fitted these particulars that is are mentioned in the description. Now, this, the description of the cow is now finished. Now it comes to the beginning of the story. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا. If you remember, these are all in line with the criticism of the past history of Banu Israel. That you did this, you did that, you did that. And the Jews in Medina are actually blamed for it because they boasted about it. If, of course, something wrong happens in the history of Muslims or Jews or Christians and they apologize for them or they do not accept it, they do not endorse it, okay, there is no blame. But if, for example, we boast, we Muslims boast about the time of Banu Umayyah, we say, look, we had this time of glory at the time of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas, for example, we made great civilization, then people may come us and tell, do you know what did Banu Umayyah do? Do you know what did Banu Abbas do? What, for example, crimes they committed on humanity, on such and such? Do you know that Banu Umayyah killed the grandson of the Prophet, for example? And if we want to actually deny that, then we are blamed. We are to blame. We are in that position that we could be blamed for our past history. And because the Jews were actually boasting about that past history and actually bringing that past history as something to oppose the new revelation, all these are mentioned to blame them as well, in addition to their forefathers. Now, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا. Of course, the Jews in Medina did not kill anyone. This happened a couple of thousand years ago. However, because they were boasting about whatever what had happened, of course, it could be mentioned like this. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَدَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرَجٌ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And when you killed a soul and accused one another about it, and Allah was to expose whatever you were concealing. Allah was exposed, وَاللَّهُ مُخْرَجٌ. Of course, it's mentioned in a present tense, مُخْرَجٌ. Some say that this is not only about Banu Israel. Generally, nothing in the world would remain hidden. As on the Day of Judgment, of course, things will be revealed and everything concealed would become apparent. Even in this world, things would become apparent. We have, under this verse, several traditions are mentioned from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that whether you do evil or good, it one day eventually would become apparent when you conceal it. There's one hadith from the Prophet which says, "Inna abdan law ata Allah min wara sab'een hijaban la azhara Allah dhalika ala alsanat an-nas." If a person worships behind 70 veils so that no one should know about it, one day Allah would reveal it, even during his lifetime or later on. And we see this, for example, about Imam Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Ali ibn Abi Talib. You see now, for 60 years he was cursed on pulpits. All sorts of accusations were made against him. He was not a Muslim. Even he did not pray at all. And when he was killed in mosque, some people in Syria asked, what was Ali doing in the mosque? He was not praying at all. Now you see how Allah has actually exposed his merits. And about many prophets in the past. And in our society as well, when we do charity, good works, we don't want no one to know about it, but eventually Allah, Ya man adhara al-jamil wa satara al-qabih. This is your habit. You expose good and conceal evil, But if someone does real evil, is real evil, Allah would reveal that eventually to the people as well. And of course, not much of evil, the good usually would become apparent. أَوْحَلَّهُ إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ قُلْ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ يُخْفُونَ لِي أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَعَلَيَّ أَنْ أُظْهِرَهَا لَهُمْ. Allah revealed to Musa, tell to Bani Israel, they should try to conceal the good they do, and exposing it is my duty. I will do it for them. I will expose it. I will let people know about it. Anyhow, وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Either it's just a particular statement about this story, or it is a general statement that Allah always would expose, especially when it comes to Day of Judgment. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ فَقُلْ نَضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. And then we said, make a contact between this corpse and the body of the cow. Actually hit them together. كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. So when they actually made a contact between the body of the cow, the corpse of the cow, and the corpse who was murdered, he was revived. Life was given to him. He actually was alive for a short period and told who had killed him, and then died again. This was the judgment. He was not to live, of course. His time had passed. He was not going to live. But what happened by hitting the bodies together, by making the contact between the bodies, the corpse of the cow and the corpse of the man came back to life and said who had killed him and died again. فَقُلْ نَضْرِبُوهُ بَبَعْضِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى. Now, first of all, there is a big sign for this, that someone who's dead, the soul has gone, can come back, can come to a body. Of course, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى doesn't mean that this body which is buried will and is perished and rotten would find life again. But it is, if this is possible, God can make another body later on the Day of Judgment, and the soul can go back into that body. كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ. Now, this ayat, he shows you his signs. That, first of all, he knows everything. He can allow his prophets to do things which ordinary people cannot do. He can revive the dead. And many other things that we learn from this story. كَذَلِكَ وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعَقِلُونَ. He shows you his signs so that you use your reason. You remember we said that the Quran has four levels of meaning. One is ibara, the expression, which this is what we are doing here. We just talk about the expression of the Quran, explain it. Then there is ishara in all these expressions, that there are hidden meanings which people, the elite of the mu'minun, can understand from these verses. Then after ishara are lataif, the very subtle meanings which are not something that you can talk about or you can describe when you understand them. It just is a very personal, private meaning given to a heart of a person when they recite the Quran and they are pure. And then there are haqa'iq, the real meanings of these verses, which are given only to Anbiya. Now, sometimes the mystics try to find isharat in the verses of the Quran. Now, isharat is very common to find in different verses, and all the Irfani tafasir commentaries which are written, they are actually trying to bring out isharat, allusions to different things. You hear one thing, it alludes to something completely different. They have tried to find that and mention it. Of course, lataif and haqaiq are things which cannot be mentioned. They are not something to come into words. Qushayri, who's one of the mystics of the 5th century, has a tafsir, Lata'if al-Ishara. Actually, the name of the tafsir is very interesting, Lata'if al-Isharat, the subtle allusions in the Quran. He says that here, if you think about the whole story, Amara biqatl haywanin, Allah has instructed them to kill an animal, to slaughter an animal. فَجَعَلَ سَبَبَ حَيَاتِ مَقْتُولِهِمْ قَتْلَ حَيْوَانٍ لَهُمْ. Now, Allah has actually made the killing of this animal the cause for the revival of that person. Now, صارت الإشارة. What is the إشارة in this verse? Is that if you want the life of your heart, you have to kill the animal of your soul, of your nafs. The nafs, the lower soul, is like an animal. It is animal, of course, because it's only is after the material desires. This animal of the self, if you kill that animal, then it can give life to your heart. إِنَّ مَنْ أَرَادَ. What is the ishara here? إِنَّ مَنْ أَرَادَ حَيَاةَ قَلْبِهِ لَا يَسْلُ إِلَيْهِ إِلَّا بِذِبْحِ نَفْسِهِ. Anyone who wants the life of his heart cannot reach it unless with the sacrifice and slaughtering his lower self. بالمجاهدات يحيى قلبه بأنوار المشاهدات فمن ربح نفسه بالمجاهدات يحيى قلبه بأنوار المشاهدات. Anyone who kills that, then the heart will see things which other people cannot see. The lights of مشاهدات would come. وكذلك من أراد الله حياة ذكره في الأبد أمات في الدنيا ذكره بالخمول. Also, if someone, Allah wants to make his name known to everyone until the end of the world, should actually kill his own desire for fame in this world. And again, we see that there are many people who have worshipped in isolation, and Allah has made them famous in all faiths, in Christianity, in Islam, and others. So these are some isharat that we can gain from this story. Also, there are stories, mythical stories, built around the Quranic stories, which one of them I mentioned here with regards to this story, something reported as from Ibn Abbas, Abdullah Ibn Abbas. Of course, it is not from Abdullah Ibn Abbas, certainly. But as I said before, because Abdullah Ibn Abbas was the highest authority in tafsir and hadith, anyone who wanted to fabricate something would say Ibn Abbas has said it. Well, of course, the poor man didn't even know these things are going to be fabricated against him. Said that إِنَّ صَاحِبَ بَغَرَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ طَلَبَهَا أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً حَتَّى وَجَدَهَا. They looked 40 years to find such a cow. Now, it's against the whole story, isn't it? Because the story says they came for litigation, and they said, Musa said, slaughter a cow, and they made the contact between the two corpses. And then he said, who had killed him? After 40 years, what's the use of it? It's against the whole context and the actually expression of the Quran. Like the story they make about Yusuf alayhi salam, that the price was for Yusuf, for selling Yusuf, was so high that everyone in Egypt came to buy him. They couldn't. And then an old woman, I don't know whether you have heard this story, an old woman came with a very small amount of money, and they said, well, they are not going to sell Yusuf to you. And she said, anyhow, I want to be in this queue. That's fine. If I'm in this queue, it's fine. I'm one of the buyers of Yusuf. Well, it's exactly and very expressly against the whole verse of the Quran, which says, فَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَّنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا. Just a few dirham they sold him. Now, these stories are made, why? To actually glamorize the events which have happened in the Quran. Now, after this, after we actually revived that person, and that person gave testimony to who had killed him, and of course the issue was settled, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Then your hearts hardened. After that, inshallah, we'll discuss this next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. We now open the floor for about 15 minutes to further the discussion or clarify any matter. Any brothers, sisters willing to start the debate? Or...
Yeah, one question there as well.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry, I must have been distracted. I just wanted to ask you, the part that you just mentioned about if you want the life of your heart, you have to kill the animal of your soul. Where did that come from?
This is an allusion from the verse that they wanted the man who was killed, who was murdered, they wanted him to come alive and bear testimony, and they killed an animal for that person to come alive. Now, here Qushayri says you have to kill the animal of your lower self to give life to your heart. Qushayri. Qushayri was Abul Qasim Qushayri was a famous mystic and exegete of the 5th century.
Riaz?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam.
The cow story is always mentioned since our youth as an anecdote to say don't ask too much. So of course you were here when we
No, don't ask useless things.
the biggest vast prevalent masala we have now is about Eid, of course, so I will not go into that.
Is about
the day of Eid and the sighting of the moon. So we wouldn't go into that because exactly something similar happened to it in our own lifetime. Yeah. My question is regarding the killing of animals. If, for example, a human thought evolution over the last 2,000 years if somebody claims that we are now at that stage where we do not have to take the life of an animal, like the vegans amongst us, who would say shedding blood is not necessary, it does confuse matters when it comes in Quran in clear black and white that you should kill an animal. Now, is it possible that there will come a time where this will not be necessary and we should be enjoying the fruits of the animals as opposed to slaughtering them? Can you see such a time?
Well, we are not allowed to kill any animal, of course. An'am, this is camel, cow, and sheep, goat, cattle, they are mentioned in the Quran as created for human beings to consume. Anzala lakum thamaniyata an'amin. He has actually created them for you to do it. And this is what Allah says about it. Now, you may say, I don't agree with Allah that is created for us. That's another story. Or you may say, my compassion is more than compassion of God, so I don't want to do it. But anyhow, it's not compulsory for us to eat them, but Allah says, I have created them for you.
So if somebody has created GM foods enough to feed the whole world and animals do not need to be slaughtered, mm-hmm, would that still be true? Could we not survive without killing animals?
You see, it's not because of a scarcity of food that we eat these animals. Of course, since all people could have been vegetarians and they didn't need if they wanted to, they didn't need. But, of course, Allah says that this is created for you and you have to use it. Why should you let them to become old and crippled? And
yeah. Well, in other words, we are not utilizing the ni'mat of Allah if we are not partaking such a thing.
We better not shed the blood of human beings rather than not shedding the blood of animals.
We'll keep it to that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other sisters? Any sister?
My impression from Surah Al-Baqarah and this story is all about the killing of humans, not the cow. This is the most important thing from that story. And because of that story, and I think, maybe I'm not right, so I'm asking, is that to do with the ayah, say, من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أن من قتل نفسا كأنما قتل الناس جميعا؟
Well, that comes as a consequence of killing of Qabil, of Habil, yes, of course.
Yeah,
of killing of a human being.
Bani Israel, he mentioned Bani Israel in that.
Yes.
And that. And that's why Surah Al-Baqarah is the biggest surah in the Quran. Mm-hmm. And name it with Baqarah, I mean, it's a very important thing. It's not the killing of Baqarah, it's the killing of
human beings.
Yeah.
It's a very nice allusion. That's Ishara.
Ishara.
It's an Ishara, yeah, right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any brother?
Thank you.
Yes, can you pass it? Can you press the button on the top?
Assalamu alaikum. Going back to this cow thing, could it be the other way around that the Jews here wanted to understand exactly what sort of cow they should be killing rather than killing a cow, then you tell them, oh, that was the wrong one anyway, or it didn't work or whatever. So they were asking, trying to get information properly before actually going and finding a cow to kill. Why is it that you blame these guys all of saying, oh, you just didn't want to do it? That's why you kept on asking.
Well, because the verses very clearly says, at the beginning, Musa told them, فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Do what you are told. Do not ask more questions. Do, at this stage that I say, a middle-aged, do it. Don't ask about other things. And then at the end, he says, وَمَا كَذُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They almost was not doing it. So these would imply that they were not willing to do it, and all these questions, were to somehow make the cow something probably which did not exist at all on the earth. And eventually it was only one cow that they found with all these particulars.
Yeah. Thank you. Any sisters? Any brother? Sheikh, it seems that the cow was regarded as a sacred animal by Bani Israel?
Yes, it was a heritage from Egypt, yes. In Egypt, there was a god which was symbolized by a cow. And they were worshipping it in Egypt, actually. And that's why all these things happened with regard to Samiri and the calf and worshipping the calf made out of gold. It's all the actual remnants of their ideology from Egypt.
So, just a minute. So it seems that not only that community, but because nowadays as well, the Hindus, they see, but for God knows for how many long years they have been considering cow as a sacred animal, so perhaps that may have continued into the Hinduism.
Well, I don't know whether their view about cow is the same as Egyptians, because Egyptians regarded it as one of the most powerful gods. I don't know whether Hindus do that, or it's just because of the respect for the blessings which cow gives. I don't know. I'm not very well aware of that.
Nor am I. Yes, sister, you'll have to press the button at the top. That. I just press this one. Yeah.
You mentioned that in the Bible, the story is it's a bit different. Like when they do the sacrifice of a cow, they kind of make an oath and tell the truth. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can we verify if the story is right or authentic? This one of
the Bible.
Of the Bible.
Well, of course, it's like all other parts of the Bible. We cannot say.
Because there is an idea. Like they were avoiding, when in the story in the Quran, they don't want to do the cow because they want to avoid admit the murder, mm-hmm. and because they don't want to lie under oath.
Yes.
As a whole community.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that they will be punished if they do. Yeah. Plus the murder itself, if they lie under oath, there will be more punishment. Yeah. So they want to delay that. Can we say that?
We may say that, and that instruction in the Bible, as I said, it may have origins in this story at the time of Musa alayhi salam, that this happened, and later on, they thought, of course, it was only Musa who could do that, give life to the dead by making the
covenant. Exactly. What I'm saying, of course, Musa can know who's the murderer, who's the killer in this case.
Not necessarily, no. Not necessarily. If he knew, he would have actually judged.
But he didn't want to tell because he wanted them to up with the truth themselves and to train them to tell to deal with murder in the future or any other occasion.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Even if Musa knew it, it's not necessary that he should have known it. Okay, but even if he knew it and he would have told them that this tribe is the murderer, for them, or this man, they would have denied it. They would have, we haven't. Yeah. But when the man came back to life himself and testified and died, there was no room for argument anymore. But as you said, yes, this was actually something which was...
The evidence, there is an evidence when the man comes from death and say something, this is evidence that
that's right.
The killer. If Musa say that, there will be no evidence.
People wouldn't have accepted.
I think the community trained to look for evidence in this case. Mm. This is the beginning of kind of qada.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
Any brother? Yes, Bismillah.
Just to clarify, you said that it's possible that this story from the Quran was taken and put into the Bible. So are we seeing...
No, not from the Quran was put in the Bible.
Well, you said it was...
No. The story may have happened at the time of Musa, but there was no mention of it in the Bible, okay? However, that instruction later on came as something that was originated by this story, which had happened. We know that because it's mentioned in the Quran, it happened at the time of Musa, okay? Now, it's not mentioned in the Bible. However, later on, they thought that, okay, in any murder, this is the injunction. You have to slaughter a cow and people come and make an oath. So the story, that injunction may have originated from this story. The realist, not the one in the Quran. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sister? Anybody? Any brother? Any brother? No? Thank you, Sheikh Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.